This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد يقول جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون صدق الله العظيم. So mashallah, I would like to put on record my acknowledgement and gratitude to the Honorable Sheikh, and I've heard great things about the sterling work that he's been doing amongst the youth, and mashallah, the numbers that have showed up speaks volumes for the commitment and the passion and the delivery and the follow-up. It is remarkable, it is impressive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this to grow in leaps and bounds. Salmat ibn Dinar rahimahullah, a great tabi'i, used to say, "Ma min yawmin tatlu'u fihi ash-shamsu illa wa yuqbilu 'ala talib al-'ilmi 'ilmuhu wa hawahu, thumma yataghalabani fi sadrihi taghalub al-mutakhasimain. Fa idha ghalaba 'ilmuhu hawahu kana yawmuhu yawma ghunmin lahu, wa idha ghalaba hawahu 'ilmuhu kana yawmuhu yawma khusranin 'alayh." Every single day a fresh battle is fought in the life of every human. In English the proverb is, the challenge of life is, it's so daily. Regardless of how well you jump yesterday, today is a new day and you have to jump again. And I use the analogy of jumping because that's something that would relate to you and resonate with you. مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسُ إِلَّا وَيُقْبِلُ عَلَىٰ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ عِلْمُهُ وَهَوَاهُ. So there is this battle, there is this fight on the chest, on the bosom of a human, of a believer. ثُمَّ يَتَغَالَبَانِ في صدره تغالب المتخاصمين فإذا غلب علمه هواه كان يومه يوم غنم له. If you allow for knowledge, for virtue to overpower the evil urge, and when we talk of the urge of evil, we must qualify this and say this, الإنسان لا يعاب بما في طبعه. Humans are not held accountable for their urge, which is incorrect. But they are held accountable if they succumb to that illicit urge. So we are not expected to eliminate the evil urge. Because a lot of times a young man would come, you know, I have vowed, I've pledged, I've made the commitments, but I keep on having these recurring thoughts. The thoughts are fine as long as you do not succumb to it. My analogy is as follows. No person aspires to fast in the month of Ramadan without the thought of food. Like this Ramadan, I'm really planning, and I don't want to think of food. I don't want to get hungry. No, that's fine. In fact, you'll be rewarded more. And here again, we learn from the Quran. Okay, let me complete that proverb and come back to you. ثُمَّ يَتَغَالَبَانِ فِي صَدْرِهِ تَغَالُبَ الْمُتَخَاسِمَيْنِ فَإِذَا غَلَبَ عِلْمُهُ هَوَاهُ كَانَ يَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ غُنْمٍ لَهُ. If virtue overpowers vice, then consider that a day of celebration and a day of Eid. وَإِذَا غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ عِلْمَهُ, and flip the coin and reverse it, Allah forbid, if he succumbs to his lower self, كَانَ يَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ خُسْرَانٍ عَلَيْهِ, then that is a day of regret, that is a day of failure. The Urdu poet said, نَچِتْ كَرْ سَكَي نَفْسْ كَ پِحَلْوَاكُ تو يُو هَاتْ پَاو بِي دِيلَ نَدَالَ. نَچِتْ كَرْ سَكَي نَفْسْ كَ پِحَلْوَاكُ تو يُو هَاتْ پَاو بِي دِيلَ نَدَالَ. ارے اس سے کشتی تو ہے عمر بر کی کبھی تو دبا لے کبھی وہ دبا لے. If at some point you have lost the battle against your ego, then don't surrender defeat and say it's over. No, you got to be at it. So like I was saying to you, my young brother, my young sister, the urge will continue. And this is وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We have created a life of challenges for man. Amir bin Abdullah Tamimi, the distinguished student of Abu Musa Ash'ari, I marvel at his munajat with his creator. Ilahi khalaqtani bi amrik, thumma aqamtani fi balaya hadhihi ad-dunya bi mashi'atik, thumma qulta li istamsik, walakin kayfa astamsiku in lam tumsikni bi lutfika ya qawi ya matin. Ilahi khalaqtani bi amrik, O my Allah, you created me by your will. وَأَقَمْتَنِي فِي بَلَايَا هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا بِمَشِيئَتِكَ. And you subjected me to temptations by your will. Asma'i, the Arabic authority, he says, I went into Yemen and I went to the Banu Udhra tribe in the search and the quest of pure Arabic. And when I came there, I seen some graffiti and I seen a plaque, and on that it was written, Billahi akhbiru ayyuhal ushaq idha ishtadda wajdum bimri'in kayfa yasna'u. Oh people, help a young man who's gripped in a malady, in a fantasy, in a crush, in an infatuation over a woman, and he simply doesn't know how to manage it. And he just seen this written there, and he went to the tribe to learn the pure, wholesome language. So he said, I decided to reply. I said, Yudawi hawahu wa yaktumu sirrahu wa yasbiru fi kulli al-umuri wa yakhda. Listen, young man who's gripped in your fantasy, in your crush, in your infatuation, whatever your fallacy, whatever your melody, whatever your infatuation is, yudawi hawahu. Yudawi hawahu. Treat your melody. Yaktumu sirrahu. Conceal your fantasy. وَيَصْبِرُ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ وَيَخْضَعُ. Learn to persevere and endure. He said, the next day I passed by, it was written, كَيْفَ يُدَاوِي هَوَاهُ. كَيْفَ يُدَاوِي هَوَاهُ. How does he treat his melody when every day his fantasy is crushing him internally? So he said, I responded further, إِلَّمْ يُتِقْ صَبْرًا وَكَتْمًا لِسِرِّهِ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ سِوَى الْمَوْتِ أَنْفَعُ. إِلَّمْ يُتِقْ صَبْرًا وَكَتْمًا لِسِرِّهِ. I paraphrase the translation of this generally. If you are unable to crush your evil fantasy, then you will die for the rest of your life. But if you can muster the courage to crush it, then you will live beyond and you will live a wholesome life. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi walil rasooli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O you who believe, when Allah and His Prophet invite you, oblige and comply to a life that will allow you to live. So we're not here to eliminate the human instinct, that feeling that is within us, the urge, the desire. Those are natural instincts. And Islam, that's the beauty of Islam. Islam has not impressed upon us celibacy. وَرَحْبَانِيَّ. Allah speaks about celibacy, monasticism, divorcing yourself, isolating yourself. ابتدعوها. They innovated it. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We did not decree it upon them. فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. And you couldn't honor it, you couldn't comply with it, because it is in conflict with the human anatomy, our makeup, our composition. So the beauty of Islam is it doesn't deny you any natural need. It regulates it. It regulates it. That's the beauty. Islam doesn't tell you don't eat. Islam doesn't tell you don't sleep. Islam comes to regulate. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Amongst the signs of Allah is sleep in the day, sleep at night. وَالنَّوْمْ بِالنَّهَارِ مِمَّا عَوَّدَتْهُ الْعَرَبِ. And sleeping by day, siesta, the Arabs used to sleep. So دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ النَّوْمْ لِلْإِسْتِرَاحَ وَكَذَا طَلَبُ الْمَعَاشِ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ لَا يُنَافِي الْكَمَالِ وَإِنَّمَا يُنْهَى الْإِنْهِمَاكِ فِيهِمَا. It's all about moderation. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, right, when the minister's wife tried seducing him, and again the Arabic of the Quran conveys the message so aptly and succinctly and profoundly. So she made serious lustful advancements. And how do we know she made serious lustful advancements? وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. لَقَدْ and هَمَّ. All combination of emphasis. لَ comes for emphasis, قَدْ comes for emphasis, and هَمَّ being a ماضي expression, something of the past, itself denotes, you know, something that was absolutely established. And then Allah says, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, as a human, as a mortal, but of course protected from sin by the will of the Almighty, but he was a human. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. there was obviously a human instinct. There was a human instinct as she made advancement. This is not a demerit. This is not a blemish on the impeccable character of Yusuf alayhi salam. If any, this is a credit to Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. And I want to drive the point to say it's human, it's natural. So, if the kind of inclination was mutual, where she made lustful advancements, she came forward, and he had, wal'iyadu billah, obviously he did not, he was the Nabi of Allah, he was pure, he was protected, he was ma'soom. If hypothetically he had a similar feeling, then the Quran in its comprehensive approach would have said, walaqad hamma, they mutually intended each other. But that's not what the Quran made a distinct separation. She made lustful advancements. Wa hamma biha, he had a natural thought. The scholars say the analogy of that is like a fasting person on a hot day, how he or she would naturally think of chilled water. So automatically it crosses your mind, and then somebody brings the bottle of water to you and say, you were thinking of water years ago. No, never. I'll never break my fast. But you said you were thinking. Indeed, I was thinking, but that doesn't mean I'm going to break my fast. And that's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, is to restrain ourselves, to manage ourselves, to curtail, to limit ourselves. So the scholars give the analogy of the human ego to be that of the horse. Those of you that ride horses, Allah speaks about horses in the Quran, Surah Al-Adiyat, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Khaylu ma'akudun binawasiha al-khayr. Allah has attached goodness to the forelock of a horse. وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرَ لِتَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَ. In chapter 16, Surah An-Nahl, another name of it is Surah An-Ni'am, meaning bounties. Allah speaks of the different modes of transport. So when you get on the back of a horse, then the horse will examine the confidence of the rider. Either you show your confidence, you hold the reins firmly, and you have the authority in your control. You pull the reins, then you trot, then you gallop, then you know how to control that horse. And if perchance you are, you know what, not experienced, not skilled, and you're an amateur rider, then the horse will realize your incompetence and you will be a dummy on the back of that horse. The horse rides you. And that's the condition of the human ego. Every ego will provoke you. If you're going to succumb to the tantrums of that ego, then the ego rides you, and unfortunately you are a dummy. And the Quran refers to such individuals as أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you seen the individual who's made his lower self, his base desires, his God? And that is what he follows. And if you show confidence, then you will dictate. So you will tell your ego when to graze, how long to graze, when to sleep, how long to sleep. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge. Are we the horse? Are we the rider riding the horse? Or are we a dummy and the horse is riding us? Each person must dictate that and decide that for himself. So we need to come to environments like this and connect and discuss this here so that we can create within ourselves greater levels of resilience. So essentially what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, and remember, you are in your prime, you are in your youth. If there's anything that Allah loves is youth. I often say to the youth that the sleepers in the cave, when they observe the crime, the offense, polytheism, idolatry that was happening, and experts on the exegesis of the Quran tell us that it was their inner passion for purity that brought them together, because there wasn't any coordinated assembly. Each one of them observed the wrong in society and they withdrew and they came together. So do the scholars of tafsir say, and then they found commonness amongst themselves. When they withdrew from some wrong that they observed, this is unacceptable, this is deplorable, this is just, it just doesn't gel, it just doesn't sit well with me. And unfortunately, I probably said it on the interview that I did here, because I deal a lot with youth in drugs. So a day doesn't go in my life where, unfortunately, or fortunately, however we choose to view it, but it's the harsh reality where, sadly, our youth have succumbed to this substance abuse and debauchery. And unfortunately, then creates this pathological lies, because part of the web and part of the net is lie upon lie, to kind of conceal, camouflage, distort, fabricate. And it's heinous. It's unbelievable. The kind of crimes that happens after a person succumbs to drugs is just horrendous. I have, unfortunately, have witnessed individuals who have sadly and tragically killed their own parents. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said recently, just like about a month ago, we had a dedicated program and I was one of the speakers there. And the other brother who works in a rehab center, he brought this to the fore. And, you know, it just gives you a shiver in your back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the sad reality of immorality, promiscuity, and incest that would plague and rock the ummah in the latter part. حَتَّى إِنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَتَى أُمَّهُ عَلَانِيَ لَكَانَ فِي أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ. And sadly, unfortunately, tragically, this has happened and is happening because of the nature of these drugs. So these youth, look at the beauty of it. These youth, when they observed the wrong, they withdrew. And take a guess what, my sister? They didn't go into worship. They just went to sleep. They just went to sleep. And that's what I say to youth. If you know something wrong is happening, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. You're sitting with people, you know they're doing the wrong, you know they're mocking the verses, you know they're scoffing the ayat, you know they're committing the wrong. Allah says, move away from them. What did these youth do? They moved away. They moved away and they went and they slept. And many youngsters would pop pills and take, you know what, buttons and pills to get the longest of sleeps. And Allah gave them the most peaceful and the most tranquil sleep. I can say this to you, and I hope I can impress it to you. I promise you, my sister, and I can assure you, my brother, with 20 years of working amongst the youth, any life of sin or any sin is nothing but inevitable misery, depression, and isolation. Now, it's either you wise and calculated to trust the vision of those who represent your interests, or you opt to say, no, he partied, he indulged, he celebrated, he enjoyed, and he's denying and depriving me. Let me go and enjoy my life. Then unfortunately, in the process, you'll have bruises, you'll have scars, you might lose an organ, you might lose a limb, and you might lose your life. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. Allah says, I am open to forgive anyone. I have hundreds of youth phone me in an anonymous capacity with a hidden identity, and I'm quite fine with that. I don't need to know the details of the individual. The issue is to solve the problem. I've got some evil intentions, evil inclinations. I've committed a crime. Recently was a young man phoning me and he said, I've committed zina. I said, okay, you know, this is what you need to do. And then he just hanged on to the line and he's sobbing. And then after a little while, he said, no, my crime is worse. I committed zina on the first night of Ramadan. And this was the urge in that shaitan had put in me to commit zina in Ramadan. So that's the nature of the devil and the ego. You got to sustain the same thrill. You need variety. You need to diversify. You need to try something different with a twist. So when you see some of the things thrown out on social media, and the kind of fantasies people have to massage their ego, it is inconceivable, it is unimaginable, it is indescribable. How do you reconcile such fantasies? But it is a trend of the devil's constant provocation. So there's no joy out there. That's the brutal truth. There's just no pleasure in it. It's a vicious circle. So Allah says, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ. The nature of the devil, he incites you, he provokes you. Do it, do it. You need this, man. You need to go, you need to have a pill, you need to go to a club, you need a nice massage, you need gentle fingers, you need to smoke this, you need to try this. He just keeps on throwing the... So we read this daily in Surah An-Nas. مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Oh Allah, save us from the evil of the sneaking whisperer. Khanasa means one who withdraws. Waswas means one who indoctrinates. That's what the devil is. Indoctrinates, waswas. So you sit in and then he starts throwing. Yeah, just go online. Yeah, just peruse. Yeah, just see. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The fitan will be such. Amya, samma, bakma, man ashrafa laha istashrafatuhu. The fitness will paralyze you. Whoever will eavesdrop, it will swallow him in. I know of a case, a sister rang me up and she said, my son is on drugs back home. And then back and forth from the rehab, finally he got clean. One day my hubby went into the closet and she found this bag and there was some powder in it. Curiosity in my hubby, what's this drugs all about? So my hubby decided to open the bag and he decided to pop some of this powder. And then I'm hanging on there, sister, are you there? Are you there? And she's wailing and she's sobbing. And she says, now my son is clean and my hubby is an addict. My hubby is an addict. So the devil, min shar, oh Allah save us from the evil of waswas. How do you counter it? Waswas is constantly indoctrinating. And that's all he can do. A person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, I have such evil thoughts. لَأَنْ أَكُونَ حُمَمَ. If I was reduced to coal, then that would be better for me, lighter for me, easier for me, مِنْ أَنْ أَتَكَلَّمْ بِهِ, than me articulating and expressing the thoughts that cross my mind. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Alhamdulillahi الَّذِي رَدَّ أَمْرَهُ إِلَى الْوَسْوَسَ. All praise belongs to Allah. There's different interpretations. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Who has limited the influence of the devil to indoctrination. So, خُلِقَ إِبْلِيسُ مُزَيِّنًا وَلَيْسَ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الضَّلَالَةِ شَيْءٍ. The devil only has the ability to decorate vice, but he cannot make you indulge in the crime. He simply cannot. And that's the muscle, that's the clout, that's the ability Allah has given us, Allah has given you. Of course, the time in which you are, it's so much more valuable. So there are four things the scholars say are wonderful, are amazing. But if four categories of people do it, it's so much more beautiful. Number one, as-sakha'u min al-aghniya'i hasanun, lakin fil fuqara'i ahsan. Generosity from the wealthy is great, but if a poor man with his minimum income, if he can spend, then that's just beyond description. Number two, العدل من كل إنسان حسن لكن في القضاة أحسن. Justice, fairness, equity, the execution of justice is great. But if those in power, the judges, the rulers on the thrones, the kings, the monarchs, if they can execute justice, then that's the best thing. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was resting under a tree and a diplomat came to meet him and he said, where is your leader? He said, well, there's he resting under the tree. And he came to Umar, he was blown away by the awe of Umar. He said, عَدَلْتَ فَأَمِنْتَ فَنِمْتَ. Oh Umar, you lived with justice. You brought peace to the land so you can sleep calmly. Number three, الْحَيَاءُ فِي الرِّجَالِ حَسَنٌ لَكِنْ فِي النِّسَاءِ أَحْسَنٌ. Modesty is beautiful if men have it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam كان أشد حياء من العذراء, the hadith of Bukhari. He was a more modest man than an unmarried woman. You know, like a spinster, her natural modesty, bashfulness in her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was exceptionally modest. So modesty is beautiful in men, but it's just too amazing in women. It's just too amazing in women. The enhancement and the beauty that it brings to a woman is just of a different level. وَالتَّوْبَةُ مِنَ الشَّيْخِ حَسَنٌ لَكِنْ فِي الشَّبِّ أَحْسَنٌ. And tawbah, repentance, embracing a life of purity, nobility and virtue is great if a young, aged, elderly man does it. In fact, anybody who repents before they die is great. But when it's a young man brimming with his youth, and all his talents are bursting in him, and he's having his hormonal spurts, and he's going through his adolescence, and he's having all these craves. And at that time, he restrains his gaze. He regulates his evil passions. Trust me, there's nothing more beloved in the eyes of Allah. I'll leave you with this last quotation. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim. The hadith is long, in which the word ahmaq features as well. By the way, I'm happy that the age group here is, I believe, 18 to 30. So Imam Nawawi, the great Shafi'i scholar, has said under the hadith, Ya ma'shar al-shabab, O growth of youth. So, you know what, unpacking the word youth, he says, وَالشَّبُّ عِنْدَنَا مَنْ بَلَغَ وَلَمْ يُجَاوِزْ ثَلَثِينَ وَالشَّبُّ عِنْدَنَا مَنْ بَلَغَ وَلَمْ يُجَاوِزْ ثَلَثِينَ That a young man, by the definition of, you know, the linguists, the philologists, the grammarians, they say a young man is anyone who's at the threshold of puberty and does not exceed the age of 30. But here's my last reflection. So the word ahmaq, loosely, commonly, averagely translated as fool, silly, naive, immature, incompetent, etc. But the Ahlul Lugha, they say, who is an ahmaq? Who's a fool? Who's a foolish person? Right? Even in the verse I quoted, and I'll wrap up here. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالًا Allah says that He will forgive those who sin out of ignorance. And what do the scholars tell us? سَمَّ اللَّهُ إِرْتِكَابًا مَا لَا يَلِيقُ بِالْعَاقِلِ جَهَالَةً وَإِنْ كَانَ عَمَدًا That when you're committing an act of sin, my sister, regardless of how smart, how wise, how intelligent, what a great flyer thinker you are, that is an act of naivety, stupidity, and foolishness. And this is the definition of ahmaq the scholars give, the Ahlul Lugha, the philologists, the grammarians give us. مَنْ يَعْمَلُوا مَا يَضُرُّهُ مَعَ عِلْمِهِ بِقُبْحِهِ مَنْ يَعْمَلُوا مَا يَضُرُّهُ مَعَ عِلْمِهِ بِقُبْحِهِ A fool, a naive, a silly person is anyone and everyone who consciously indulges in something knowing very well this is harmful, hazardous, and detrimental. Nobody wants to be identified as a fool. But honestly, when we look at our lives, I know that drug is bad. I know this porn is incorrect. I know this illicit relationship is bad. I know this music is eroding me. I know this haram relationship is destroying me. I'm conscious. I'm aware. I understand. Yet I am indulging. Then I'm afraid we are the biggest fool when we look into the mirror. May Allah protect us. I salute you for the time that you have. You're a young person. Ali radiallahu anhu said, I wish, I yearn, and I pine for my youth. And he spent it fruitfully. Allah has blessed you with youth. In English, they say, you are only young once, but you can be immature indefinitely. May Allah bless you with wisdom.
So just one question, really piggyback or camelbacking, I should say, off of what you said. SubhanAllah, the idea that for a young person to restrain himself, despite the fact that the system that is designed around him is to push them towards ghafla, towards heedlessness, or even towards the haram proper. What are ways, and it's a difficult, long question, it's a lecture in and of itself, but in a concise way, what is a way for a young person to say, you know what, I want to get out from the rat race, I want to stop this, I want to stop just wasting my time on Netflix, I want to be a true abid of Allah, and, you know, like someone who nasha'a fi ibadatillah, like those who are shaded by Allah. What are steps to make ibadah enjoyable for a young person?
So indeed, that's a brilliant question, and obviously that's the most commonly asked question. I like to always give an answer from Quran. In the context of the tale, the story, the narrative, the expedition of Tabuk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes the lies, the inconsistency and the hypocrisy of the munafiqeen. So they said, oh, we really wanted to participate. Oh, we really wanted to come. I promise you, I had so much intentions, you won't believe it. So Allah said, if you were candid, you were honest, you were genuine, you would have made some action. لَوْ أَرَادُ الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةً لَوْ أَرَادُ If you are, I tell you straight, listen, you want to give up drugs? Delete all your friends. No, you know what? they my good friends, thicker than blood. You never know, perhaps one day we can cross paths. No, the sister, it's no more haram, it's platonic. It's platonic. Yeah, we don't cross the modest line. No, no, no. If you cannot take active measures, the devil has no problems with our good intentions as long as it's for tomorrow. The devil has no problem. If you stand up here, my daughter and my brother, I'll consider, I'll give it thought, maybe next time. The devil is fine. But if you say, I'm deleting now, he's trembling in his boots. That's it. You have to take action. لو أرادوا الخروج. It's not a matter of me telling you the right thing. It's you and I looking for a shortcut, an easy way, a simple way. بل يريد الإنسان ليفجر أمامه. بل يريد الإنسان ليفجر أمامه. The problem with man is, brother, why don't you change? No, I'll change when I go for Hajj. Okay, so why not now? Because you're addicted to the wrong. Man wants to continue the life of sin. So here's it. Just to narrow it down, and I don't want to be long drawn, so I give a plan of action. Like I said, you have to effect change immediately. First. Number two, Allah said, لو أرادوا الخروج لأعدوا له عدة. If they were genuine in their claim that they wanted to change, then they would have done it immediately. You know, I can't claim, but we try and be little natural, organic, GMO free, and eat things that are a bit more healthy. So if you go eat something that is not organic, that is not natural, that has all these chemicals, then what they say, it's expensive on your health. If you go and see something and you like it, but you say it's too expensive, it's expensive on your pocket. Well, understand this, my daughter, and understand this, my son. Every sin is expensive on your iman. It's expensive on your iman. A person, there's a friend of mine who's on the gyms, and he's shedding a lot of kilos. So I said to him, I said, for him, what keeps you motivated? He said, standing on the scale and just seeing how I've dropped weight keeps me motivated. And I said, what if the believer today can think of the scale of Akhirah and make that motivate him? Because now when you're shedding weight, every bar of chocolate, you look at kilojoules, no, I can do without it. It's too much. It's going to be another 1 hour. No, I can be without it. Well, that's how we need to start thinking. فيه أن التعطل والبطالة دليل على عدم الإرادة ككثير ممن عرتهم أو غرتهم أنفسهم يظهرون التمني لكن كذبوا لو صح منك الهوى أرشدت للحيلي. That's what the scholars write. That they were lies. They were speaking a lie. They were inconsistent in their claim. Because if they were genuine, they would have taken action. And that's all Allah wants. That's all Allah wants. I know the time has lapsed, but I'll share with you something very, very rich here. Very, very rich. Because it's to motivate you. You promise me you're going to drop that wrong now. And I've had hundreds of youth who've come back to me over the years. You gave a talk here. You challenged us to do this. I did it. I'm writing back to you 5 years later. That was the greatest day of my life. I had my up and downs. We all know the famous incident of the man who wanted to kill 99 people and then he killed 100. In simple language, he had a killing addiction. He had an addiction, right? So anyway, he killed 100 people. I was speaking at a rehab in UK earlier this year, and I mentioned this to these young recovering addicts as well. And mashallah, they were very inspired by it. It's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, we know then the angels came and Allah forgave him. Academically, there's a very big question mark to the pardon of this murderer. وَقَدْ يُشْكَلُ عَلَى تَوْبَةِ الْقَاتِلِ أَنَّهُ إِرْتَكَبَ ذَنْبًا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِحُقُوقِ الْعِبَادِ فَكَيْفَ يُغْفَرُ لَهُ بِدُونِ أَنْ يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُ صَاحِبُ الْحَقِّ وَهُوَ مَقْتُولٌ لَا يُمْكِنُ إِرْضَاؤُهُ. So we all know the ruling that if you hurt someone, Allah will not pardon you till you don't seek pardon from that person. Here's a man who killed 100 people and then he was genuine and Allah knew he was genuine and then he leaped in the right direction. He moved away, detached from that evil company. Destiny gripped him there. He passed away and Allah forgave him. How do we reconcile the pardon of this murderer who claimed 100 lives that he had not sought pardon from one of his victims, and even if he intended, it was not possible because their corpses were lying there. أجاب عنه الحافظ في الفتح والعيني في عمدة القاري. Allama Badruddin Ayni and Hafiz ibn Hajar writes in their commentaries, بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا قَبِلَ تَوْبَةَ الْقَاتِلِ تَكَفَّلَ بِرِضَى خَصْمِهِ. That Allah accepted the sincere regret of this murderer. And when Allah accepted it, Allah sufficed on his behalf for all his opponents. So whoever has a claim against this person, Allah says, I have forgiven him. Come and claim it from me and I will deal and I will satisfy you. And of course, Allah's jannah is unending, Allah's treasures are infinite. So if that's the system of pardon of the Almighty for someone who merely intended, then what won't Allah do if you action the plan? So to answer our Honorable Sheikh's question, the answer is you have to take action now.